Invite you to remain standing a moment longer as we read this morning's gospel. I'll be reading from the gospel according to Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I don't know about you all, but I know I really appreciate when I know what is expected of me. I appreciate being well informed. I like having the confidence of knowing what is expected. It reduces for me the chance of making mistakes. Reduces the chance of upsetting people, which most of us don't like to do, I included in that. I often, however, fail to spend enough time asking and discerning what God might have planned for me. Oh, you could say, "Yes, so Pastor, you're a person of the cloth, you do that regularly." And yes, I make some assumptions, but I'm admitting before God and before you that I don't spend enough time asking for God in a day by day, week by week, am I doing what God pleases? Some of you might be willing to admit that along with me, that you too find yourself lacking that opportunity for discernment. Oh, I pray. I'm assuming you pray also. And what I find for most of us is we do a lot more of asking God for things, petitioning God, if you will, for any number of things, and petitioning God is fine and is encouraged, but what you and I probably fail to do more of is what I like to call holy listening. We fail to wait patiently, if you will, for God to be at work in our lives, answering our prayers, showing us plans, revealing to us God's way, hearing God's encouraging voice that can come in any number of ways and places. I can admit to you when I am confident, when I am assured that I am hearing God's voice and however God is speaking that, I feel better. I feel more confident. I have more encouragement. This is our fourth Sunday in the Advent season. The calendar, our lectionary, we're kind of holding off patiently this tension of not rushing to celebrate the birth of Jesus, which we have done for 2,000 years. We're going to do that tonight in our Christmas Eve services. But we are still in the Advent season, that time of joyous expectation, the time of anticipation, a season of preparing ourselves to receive God in all the way God comes to us. Yes, as the baby Jesus, but also in the promised second coming of Christ. And yet again in the everyday comings of Jesus into our lives. I think so often we fail to experience those comings of Jesus in our regular lives. We relegate those experiences maybe to the worship experience or to special times in our lives, and we forget to enjoy and embrace the incarnate Christ in our lives and then share that love with other people. You know, the possibilities that God has for us are immeasurable. We have today, in the scriptures that you have heard read to us today, Mervell read to us about King David. We heard how David had realized that as the king of God's chosen people, that he was living in this beautiful palace of cedar. And yet, the God who established David as the king over Israel, the God who had delivered his people from captivity and set them apart in the world, God was living in a tent. And the Ark of the Covenant, which they expected had the presence of God, was in that tent. And so David had made plans to build God a place to reside, a temple for God. And even God's prophet Nathan originally told David, yes, that's the plan. And overnight, prophet Nathan was told, no, there is going to be a temple for God in God's future, but King David won't be the king that builds it. And so Nathan had to go and share with King David that, no, you won't be the one. And I could imagine the astonishment to David of not being the one to build God's temple. And then we heard the story of Mary and how Mary's plans, can you imagine Mary's plans at this point? Betrothed to a man named Joseph, a respectable man, a man who was holding down a job. Can you imagine Mary being excited and thinking about how that marriage was going to unfold and being a part of a community and living out her faith, living in the comfort and care of what Joseph was going to do for her, and then to be visited by this angel who not only shares with Mary this news of God's plan, but calls her favored. Mary, you are the favored one. She was not expecting that. She, I can imagine, would be terrified of the possibilities that were going to come. The angel shared with her some things about this newborn child that she was going to have. First, and startlingly enough, was that she knew she was a virgin, and yet she was going to have this child. And that God was going to come upon her, the Holy Spirit would come upon her. But this child was to be named Jesus. And this child was going to sit on the throne of his ancestor David. And his reign would have no end. He would be the Son of God. He would carry those possibilities of God's people into the future. Can you imagine the anxiety that caused for Mary? You know how much she would have appreciated knowing what God was ultimately expecting out of her? But Mary answered, I am your servant, and I will do as you will. What a powerful response that is. How many of us would respond in that way? You see, you and I have different expectations than Mary had. We expect reasonable health. We expect reasonable wages. We expect reasonable accolades. We're surprised when our teachers and professors give us bad marks. We're surprised when our boss calls us on the carpet. We're surprised when the medical reports come back in ways that we weren't expecting. And yet, Mary's world is being turned upside down. And the angel goes on to say, well, Mary, you're not the only one experiencing these possibilities that God is bringing into the world. Your relative Elizabeth, whom everybody thought could never have a child, she is already 6 months pregnant. Can you imagine Mary beginning to process through these possibilities of what God was doing with her? She didn't fit the mold of somebody who would be called out. She didn't fit the mold of who, somebody who would be shown favor. She was being born into a scandal, pregnant with no husband. Can you imagine the possibilities God has for her? Can you imagine the possibilities that God was making for her relative Elizabeth, who was barren, who'd given up hope of ever having a child? And you see, my friends, when God's involved, when we allow God's presence and power, when God's mighty acts are included in the mix, all things are possible, just as the angel was telling Mary. Nothing is impossible when God is involved. A number of years ago in Reader's Digest, there was a story, and the woman who told the story was named Anne Douglas Vaughn. She told about how she, as a 10-year-old, had found a wallet. It was a worn leather wallet, but she knew the deal, much like many of us do today. We'll return the wallet and there will be a reward. And so Anne said, all day long as this 10-year-old, she called the phone number that she had found in the wallet, trying to tell the person who had lost the wallet that she had found it, and nobody ever answered. At the end of the day, Anne's father said, well, I'll just take you to the address there in the wallet. We'll just return it in person. And so they drove across town and discovered that the address was in military housing, and just like in most military housing, very plain and simple. The screen was torn on the front door, and as they knocked on the door, Anne said she experienced the unexpected. Before the homeowner could get to the door, Anne's father took three $20 bills out of his own wallet and placed them in the empty wallet. Returned the wallet, and Anne said that day she had a new hero in her life. She had seen her dad act out of generosity for people who looked like they didn't have much hope in their lives. You see, God can act in unexpected ways for us. Some of you are sports fans. Now, you might have a little different sense of respect for the Philadelphia Eagles, or at least some of them after I mention this. Do you know that several of the star players on the Eagles are engaged in a weekly Bible study and pray for one another and others? People like Carson Wentz and Nick Foles and Trey Burton and others, they get together every week to study Scripture and to pray. Listen to Nick Foles. He gets up early in the morning to make sure this is a priority in his life. So these people that have been elevated to rock star status, maybe God is doing something in some of them that can inspire you and I, the people who aren't the expected ones, to be people of faith. 103 years ago, on this night, 5 months into the war that we now call World War I, they say that some German soldiers began to sing some Christmas carols, carols from the church. And across, not too far away, across from the trench of the Germans were French and British and Belgian soldiers. And they recognized those famous carols, and they began to sing. And finally, some Germans emerged from their trenches without weapons, and British, French, and Belgian soldiers got out of their trenches, all in the midst of a war. You see, God was doing something with them. In the midst of taking one another's lives, there was this unofficial peace, this unofficial truce. And they met between the lines in no man's land, and they exchanged what little things they had, a little bit of pudding, a cracker, a pack of cigarettes, exchanging gifts. You see, God has the power to do what we think is impossible. But when we allow God's power, when we're a part of encouraging that, who will share the stories of the newborn Christ child if it's not you and I? The Bibles will lay on their shelves collecting dust. The stories will go untold if not Christ's followers sharing those stories. There is so much love for us to share, the love that God sent at Christmas time. You and I are to express that love with others so that God's kingdom is built and bonded together in the love that God has for this world. God will do the unexpected in unexpected people like Mary and Elizabeth, like you and me. That's God's plan. This story that I shared with you of Mary and Elizabeth, we might think they're the main characters, they're the most visible characters in the story, but God is the central character. You see, in the story, we hear God's plan of salvation for all humanity, all of us, to proclaim Jesus as the Son of God, to claim Him and to see Him on the throne of David for all eternity. That's the kind of love, but also the power that God has in this world. There was a story called A Baby's Hug. This story, this young family with a toddler goes to a restaurant and they sit down for a nice meal. It's Christmas time. And while they're sitting there, they see this unkempt man. They described him as looking homeless. He just kind of looked dirty, unshaven. They assumed he was intoxicated. And yet this man was making eye contact with their little toddler named Eric. And it bothered them a little bit, because the older gentleman kept making eye contact and Googling the little boy, playing peekaboo with him, and it made the parents uncomfortable. So they rushed through supper. The father got up, paid the bill, and told his wife, "Get Eric, and I'll meet you in the car." Well, the mother stood up, and she took Eric out of his high chair, and before she could squeeze between the high chair and the next table, she lost her balance a little bit, and little Eric's arms went out to this homeless-looking man. And before the mother could do a thing, this homeless man scooped little Eric up. And before the mother could say anything, the man said, "Take care of this little boy. And thank you. This is my Christmas gift." He gave little Eric back to the mother. And as the mother scurried off to her car, she said, "Forgive me, Father. Forgive me." You see, she had seen the love of God through the unexpected. God's possibilities in the unexpected. You may think you are not chosen of God, but friends, we all have been called by God to receive God's love, but to share that love with this hurting, broken world. I hope and I pray that if an angel visits you, if you are in the midst of your prayers, if a friend comes to you and encourages you, don't put that off. Perhaps God is in that messenger. Perhaps God is in that message. And God is seeking to call you into God's service. Powerful thoughts for us on this fourth Sunday of Advent as we prepare, rightfully so, to celebrate the birth of the newborn Christ child once again. But don't forget your expectant joy. Don't forget your moments of preparation, of the deeper, more life-changing meaning of who Christ is as Christ comes not only into the world, but into our hearts, and how our hearts can be changed by this overwhelming gift of God's love for us. I hope and I pray that you will make possibilities that God has for you a reality. And as young Mary said, perhaps you and I will also say, "Let it be with me according to your word." In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.